Last time on Zero Issues.
Uncle Owen, this podcast has a bad motivator.
The sun is crashing into the moon.
Again?
We have to rob the sun. Just the leatheriest Ocean's 11.
Leathery.
More like Lotion's 11. Because it skin's dry.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a lot of fun today. But there's nothing funny about ashy skin.
Or cancer.
Yeah, there's really nothing. Really
no,
brought down the room.
Yeah.
Well, let's have some fun.
All right.
This week, on a very special Zero Issues, I have cancer.
Oh, no.
Just kidding.
I cleared it.
You know, we had a lot of fun today, but there's nothing funny about pretending to have cancer.
Oh, we're trapped in an endless cycle.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Zero Issues. Zero Issues.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey.
I'm Mark.
I'm Bri.
I'm Hey.
You're Hey.
Hey now.
Hey now.
Hey now. Who's?
Current Zero News Flash.
Hey, welcome to the news. Let's talk about Stan Lee.
Oh, can we?
What's in the news?
Hollywood Reporter is reporting that Fox now has purchased the rights to Stan Lee's life story. It's probably a very interesting life story, what he's done, and, you know, kind of revitalized comics in his own way, or part him being part of a team that did that.
That's a way to put it.
Yeah. Well, no, but just like he went into Timely and kind of revitalized it and changed it all around. But what they're not doing a biopic. What are they doing?
I actually haven't read the article.
Oh, really?
I know it's based in the 70s.
It's based in the 70s.
Pitch it to me.
That's the tip of the iceberg on this one. Apparently, they are doing a action adventure movie. And they're aiming for, like, Roger Moore Bond style,
yeah.
or like Kingsman
or something, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm out. Give it, like, 5 years.
Uh-huh.
Once he has passed. Do an honest Stan Lee biopic.
Yeah.
Can we just do that?
That'd be neat.
Maybe that's why they're buying the rights now. They're saying they're going to do that, but they're just holding on to them.
This has the potential to be a beautiful train wreck. Just Stan Lee. Stan Lee fighting spies from the Distinguished Competition.
Pretty fast for an old guy.
You think you can take me? You have no idea who you're dealing with.
Get out of my bullpen!
So it's actually Stan Lee. It's not an actor portraying Stan Lee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just Stan Lee. Yeah. Just do it. Yeah, yeah.
He does 45 cameos in it.
We don't stand for any brand ech here.
He plays Jack Kirby.
Oh.
What are you to mock me like this?
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Well, it was weird. You say the 70s thing, and the article that I saw, it was listed as 70s action thing. Then I read the article, and it mentioned nothing of the 70s, which I thought was weird.
It was just a recipe.
for
orange salad.
Like, shouldn't you mention that? Like, that seems like a pretty integral part of that.
Is the internet sometimes people sort of, you know, elaborate on stuff not necessarily based on much.
They just
but it did
it
say
up.
Action
yeah.
movie. It did say they're aiming cheesy 70s Bond. I'm just like, well, all right then. Okay.
Yep.
Like this thing that they used to make that they don't make anymore for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, if you wanted
good
to...
movies? Oh, sorry.
Oh.
If you want to do a comic book creator biopic... of somebody who's like, you know, maybe gone to war and had a life of sort of getting into fights and stuff like that. Definitely don't do Jack Kirby. Definitely do Stan Lee.
I'm not going to downplay it. Like, he did,
certainly overlooked Jack Kirby.
He has a great importance in,
oh, yeah, yeah.
in comics. And I know we make fun of him a lot. But, like,
no, of course
I'm
he
sure
is.
He did quite a bit.
Oh, he did. Oh, for
he,
sure.
He was in Service 2. I don't know what he did.
Like, yeah.
I think Kirby had a little more frontline action than them, but...
Yeah.
But like,
I,
really,
again, I don't recall the exact...
There's a ton of those creators of that time period that, like, all went to war and came back, or they were immigrants and they came over.
That would be a movie I would watch.
I'd like to see...
All of them in war.
With no, each
that would,
other.
That would be fun, too.
Yeah.
I'd like to,
sort
I'd
of like a Gundam thing. Each of the robots is a different creator.
World War II Robotech.
Oh, man. That'd be great. I would, again, like, you pretty much had what you were getting at, saying, like, just do, wait some time and then do, like, an honest portrayal. Do, like, Marvel the Untold Story.
Yeah.
Base it on that. Like, do all, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff, like, the falling outs, all that stuff.
Get an Ashton Kutcher in there for that. Yeah.
that touch of artistic...
Ashton Kutcher as Stanley.
Yeah. Oh, God. More hateable than ever. I like Stanley. Everybody likes Stanley.
Everybody likes Stanley.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, well, like, he's a kooky uncle.
Yeah.
He's a kooky grandpa.
You love that kooky grandpa.
I would watch Stanley in a movie called Love That Kooky Grandpa.
Coming soon.
But yeah, so that's a movie that might exist at some point.
In other movie stuff, this may or may not be anything at all. It's wild speculation, but Robert Downey Jr. posted a photo
on Twitter
sitting at a table with Jon Favreau, Kevin Feige, the Russo brothers, Tom Holland, and Roy Choi, who's a celebrity chef who inspired his Jon Favreau's movie Chef.
Okay, yeah.
Have you seen that?
Roy Choi.
They're all standing.
Roy Choi. This is fun to say. Roy Choi.
It is very fun.
Roy Choi.
Very fun.
I'm a Roy Choi boy.
and it said that Jon Favreau and Roy Choi are working on a new project. That's all it said with
Iron
this
Chef.
Picture. Yeah. Hopefully. Like, you know, Downey's done. He's just like, he's going to be a mentor role. Roy Choi is going to be the new Iron Man, Iron Chef.
Roy Choi, Iron Boy.
So again,
I cannot stop pitching movies.
Yeah. And again, this
Amadeus
picture.
Amadeus Choi.
Picture it. All these guys in this photo go to war.
Well, again, it could mean nothing at all. It doesn't necessarily mean anything Marvel related. The picture would suggest it, but he could just be trying to drum up interest, you know, with that. All the people in the picture, mostly, a lot of them would sort of maybe, I think they're shooting the Spider-Man movie now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd explain.
But the Russo brothers were there.
But so the Russo brothers are there, which,
that's the,
which
I think
makes no
to
sense.
To me, that's the weird anomaly in the picture.
I mean, like, Roy Choi could just be there as a friend, maybe. Who knows? Like, Kevin Feige, would he necessarily be on set? Because they're shooting in, like, Georgia, I think, in Atlanta, aren't they?
Yeah.
So it's like, why would he be on set necessarily? You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to say.
Yeah, he probably would.
Yeah, I guess so. So, that, you know what I mean? It could mean any number of things. But that'd be very interesting if Jon Favreau might be getting creatively involved at Marvel again. Wild speculation.
Yep.
We don't know anything.
He did kind of start the whole thing.
That's true. It'd be cool. Bring him back. I don't know how Roy Choi would be involved, but...
Yeah, I know. He just made the food.
Yeah.
And brought it there to the table and came into the shop. Here's your food.
Roy, you want to get in this picture? Yeah. Yeah, come on, come
I
here.
I got your chicken wings. Sit down.
All I'm sure they're fantastic.
Yeah.
I hear he's great. He is a celebrity chef. So
it must be good.
So his chicken
wings well known.
Are out of this world.
So there's that.
Bad kidneys. I gotta pee.
So pee.
I'm kind of curious about this. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't really like too much. Because he says that every couple
other,
years.
Yeah. In other news, Alan Moore is a crank.
Yeah. Alan Moore got mad at somebody.
Alan Moore criticizes modern superhero stories as unhealthy escapism. Yep. That's kind of what they are.
I always just find it funny when it's somebody who has made their living on and has been an integral part of something, like is Michael Jackson making fun of pop music or something.
Yeah.
It's like, you're an integral part of this. Why are you...
I wonder why Alan Moore is ashamed to be famous for being a comic book writer.
I wouldn't say that necessarily. It's the superheroes in particular, I think, that he's... But again, he's written so many of them, and it seems like every... You know what I mean? Even, like, The Killing Joke and stuff like that. And other things, too, where he's just like, oh, that's no good. Like, stuff that he did that's considered a classic, where if you ask him, he's like, no, it's crap.
Yours wouldn't really work.
It's like, oh, okay.
Well, I mean...
he's welcome to that opinion.
Art is subjective.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I like your hair, and I like your old man face. Seriously, I hope I look like that when I'm an old man. I look awesome.
That would
really
be cool.
High contrast in all photos.
Yeah.
Just black and white. The rest of the world is color.
Yeah. I'm kind of like Blackout in that last Ghost Rider movie. Where it just goes black around me.
Hey, as far as a good segue goes, hey-o. Ghost Rider's coming to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah.
The Robbie Reyes version. Mm. And they just very recently posted, they've seen a look at him, like just the actor wearing the jacket. Which is pretty spot on. That jacket looks just
like it.
Yeah.
It's a very good look. And they posted, there's a photo of him as Ghost Rider, and it's got like a big flaming skull.
Yep.
As far as you can tell.
A big flaming skull!
As Ghost Rider generally does. The comic version of this one, more, it seems like it's more like a metallic kind of helmet look, sort of, with like flames shooting out of it. So this is more, it looks more like classic.
Like a traditional, one.
Yeah. I'm curious.
Which I like it. I think it's good to go with just the skull thing.
For sure. It's the most iconic look.
Yeah.
And there was also a little teaser. It didn't show him in action, but it showed his, he has a car. This version has like the muscle car.
Yeah.
With like flames shooting out of like the motor and like the tires made of flame and speeding around. Just like, that looked pretty cool. I hope that this goes well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope they have the budget to not have him just have a flaming skull head like for 3 seconds one time or something.
It becomes the Dukes of Hazzard where they just use the same shot in every show. It doesn't matter what's going on. He just jumps the car.
Every time they show Ghost Rider, he's just,
Well, I don't know how the boys are going to get out of this one.
Looks like Ghost Rider's at it again. Just a good old ghost. Wait.
I'm not interested in that.
So that's the news.
Welcome to the warm-up.
Hi, welcome to the warm-ups.
Hey, that's a little warm in here.
I got the hot farts.
And my pants are chafing me.
Is that the... A&W Hot Farts?
A&W Hot Farts.
Trademark.
TM.
You got the Chubby Chicken and the Righteous Toots.
Oh, mother
it's
of
not,
God.
It's not that good. I don't know.
I liked it.
All right. Well, thank you.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion.
Well, I'm learning how to take a compliment, so thank you, and I like your hat.
Dude, what are you doing?
All right, today's warm-up, what we're doing is we're talking about what we're reading.
Mm.
What are you currently reading? What's in your pull bag?
What's in my pull bag? One comic.
One. Oh, and I know what you're reading, too.
It's Moon Knight.
It's Moon Knight.
And you, I think you might have that.
No, I don't. No? I didn't. No, I knew you'd be possibly talking about that one.
Oh, I guess we'll start with me, then.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Please.
Yeah, I'm reading Moon Knight right now, which is a great book. The first arc sort of ended, but there is a lot of jumping back and forth between all the characters now with issue 6, which came out first week of September. And it's, like, it changes the art styles as it goes through as, like, a reflection of that.
I like that it's depending on who he's talking to, it suddenly changes, like, whether it's more in his head and he's talking to Khonshu or not.
Well, like, he's, I can't remember the name of the one, like, the rich one.
Yeah.
His rich guy personality. That's the main character in this.
Grant.
In most of this issue.
Whatever, yeah.
Stephen Grant was his name.
He's doing that, and then he jumps into the cab driver, and it's very, like, noir, sort of drawn. Like, hot. It's drawn hot. But then for most of the book, it's, you know, it's drawn as a standard thing, and then, like, the last 3 pages, he's on the moon and fighting space werewolves. And it just goes insane. It's like, all right. And it's a completely different art style. And the art styles suit what they are. So it's a grounded story. It's very grounded art.
I picked it up, but I haven't read that issue yet. Is it still, it's still continuing his whole thing?
Kind of.
First arc, isn't it?
It's a continuation, but there's no sign of Khonshu.
Oh, really?
In this anymore. So it's sort of like, well, what happens? What's going on?
Yeah.
And, yeah, they freaking hooked me. I thought I was going to be off the book after 5 issues. I'm like, I'm going to finish this first arc, and that'll be it. But
I really enjoyed it, too. Yeah, I totally dug it.
Awesome.
So I'm reading that, and I don't have a pull list other than that, but a couple of comics online I've really been digging lately. Octopus Pie is better than it's ever been.
Yeah.
It's been going on for about 10 years now.
Okay.
Which is kind of absurd because I remember, like, reading it to start. Meredith Grant has done, like, she's done stuff for other companies. She did the Adventure Time Marceline book, other smaller things, but this is, like, her ongoing comic strip that's just a bunch of 20-somethings in New York. But really good stories and really well done. The past couple of years, she's, like, been able to hire a colorist and get, you know, books out into stores and stuff.
Oh.
Like, when I was taking pictures of mangas for you the other day, I was like, oh, shit, they've got, like, the first four volumes of Octopus Pie. And, like, looking at it in an actual physical form, it's like, oh, this is really pretty.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I read all this stuff, like, 8 years ago. But it's been really killing it. And, as ever, Bad Machinery, which...
Yeah.
John Allison's also doing good stuff. He's the guy that does Giant Days, which is one of the few comics I read.
Right.
Seems like these days. But this is like, that's his web thing. He did a Power Pack thing a little while ago.
What, really?
Like,
really?
In the past 2 months, it was...
what?
It was in that Civil War Choosing Sides.
Oh, thing. Okay.
There was like a 7-page Power Pack story that he wrote. Bad Machinery's fun, and I like it.
Cool.
And it's really charming.
Like, his everything in that sort of universe that he does has just been, like, just the most endearing,
fun stuff. He does all sorts of different stuff. Like, you know, he'll do magic stuff, or he'll do, you know, kid detectives, or all sorts of crazy crap.
Hmm. It all just works.
Yeah.
So well. Yeah.
It's so very British.
So very, very British.
So that's me.
That's you.
What's you? I didn't look at either of you.
Yeah.
I'm looking across the room.
Who's going next?
I'll go next.
All right. Oh, he brought some.
I brought them.
Oh, man. That's...
These are just... The first one is an Image book called Black Road. It's Brian Wood. Gary Brown. So Brian Wood and Gary Brown did Massive together.
Okay.
Brian Wood started it with another artist, Christian Donaldson. And that went for like the first 4 or 5 issues or something. And then Gary Brown came on and finished the whole series of Massive. And so then he's jumped on with Brian Wood for Black Road. And Brian Wood did the Northerners, whatever series. It's a Viking series.
Okay.
Northmen or whatever.
This looks very similar.
It's in a similar vein. Like it's a Viking saga kind of thing.
Merc is trying to say the name Northlanders, but he's an idiot.
But just kind of following one... particular character. It's Viking Age in Norway. Magnus the Black is the character's name. He's kind of Viking that's caught between, this is the historically the time where it's changing from Viking religion to battling Christianity coming in. And so there's the battle back and forth between the two religions of who's going to kind of reign supreme.
Thor
sort of
versus
thing.
Jesus.
Basically.
Odin versus Jesus.
But
no.
Saturday, Saturday, Saturday at the Technodrome. So Magnus the Black is a Viking that's caught between the two of them. Then, and it's he often works for the Romans. So the Romans being the Christians. So in this story, he is hired to escort a Roman Christian official on the Black Road. It's called, and it kind of goes north in Norway to this destination that they haven't really talk too much about. It seems like it's a Christian settlement that
might have
a lot of power in terms of, like, they're so far away from Rome that they have their own power source kind of thing. Like, they have all the money and nobody can really say or do anything against it. But it's the Black Road is a really dangerous road, and the guy that he's escorting gets killed.
That's
pretty
racist.
Much in the first in the first or second issue he gets killed, and so then he's just trying to figure out who killed him. Then there's other characters that kind of come in. I won't go too much into it, but it's basically like that. But it's Gary Brown's stuff is really cool. Like, if you know the Massive, he's got that kind of blocky ink style.
I like it.
I really like it. It's really, and it really works well with doing a Viking kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
A lot of stark landscapes, and like they're just walking through snow and ice and across fjords and stuff. And,
I mean, I could draw ice.
Yeah.
Done. Little preview for Snot Girl in the back of that, huh?
Yeah, there was.
I haven't read that yet. Me neither. No,
I read the preview, and I was like, I've heard a lot about it, and it did not grab me.
Hmm.
It was like, that doesn't want me to buy it.
I feel like I've read enough Brian Lee O'Malley stuff.
Like for your life?
Yeah. Forever. Well, like, I like it when he does, you know, the art and the writing.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not too concerned about just his writing.
Got you. Okay. It's one of those ones I want to check out eventually, but I've just been behind on everything.
The other book I'm reading, like, I'm reading a ton, but the other one I brought was Future Quest, which is part of the whole Hanna-Barbera lineup thing that DC reintroduces. I picked up a couple.
It was the one from those previews where I'm just like, oh man, that looks good.
Well, that's the thing, is I saw this, and then there was also the Scooby-Doo Apocalypse thing. I picked that up, and I just got so irritated in the first issue that I'm like,
that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I was like, just kind of
really? What was so irritating about it?
I don't know, it seemed like they're just doing a lot of, like, modern cliche. I know, we're going to make Shaggy turn him into a hipster. And he's going to be like this, and he does this, and then she's a scientist, and she does, then they make Scooby into like a, he's been genetically engineered to be like
a talking dog,
basically a talking dog, but he's supposed to be like a killer.
Ruh-roh.
He's supposed to be a killer.
Ruh-roh indeed.
But he was the one that didn't quite work. But bonded with Shaggy, because Shaggy was the dog handler guy working in this top secret.
So Scooby Apocalypse isn't a continuation of regular Scooby-Doo?
No.
It's a gritty reboot.
I don't want to read that.
They're all like gritty.
No.
Total reboots.
Seems like it's kind of the opposite.
This is the cool one.
Because they seem very retro.
What's it called?
Future Quest, and it's got like Johnny Quest, Space Ghost, Birdman, Space Rangers, Mitor, the Herculoids, and others that I don't even, I barely remember them from when I was a kid.
And other characters that Alex Ross has drawn at some point.
Yeah, really, yeah. Well, the thing is, and it didn't dawn on me till
he's furiously painting Mitor right now, as we record.
The character designs were done by Darwin Cook, and I think, I was doing the research for this, I was opening the book, it dawned on me, I think...
Time to research this movie.
I think Darwin Cook was supposed to do this book.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think he...
It seemed like it would be...
His name was attached to doing these things, and I think he was the one lined up to do this. So, of course, with his passing, he couldn't do it. So, there's... Especially when I was looking, I'm like, who's doing the art for this? And the art has been a bunch of different people.
Oh, okay.
Evan Doc Shaner.
Yeah, he's great. Big fan of his.
Aaron Lopresti, who else? Steve the Dude Rude.
Oh, hey.
Have you ever, do you know who that is?
No.
Okay, watch, there's a documentary called Rude Dude, and it's...
Well, he's done a lot of things, for a long time.
There's also a bunch of Jerky Boys.
Well, he's a really interesting guy. He's a very cantankerous kind of...
Is he rude? He's a rude dude.
He's not easy to get along with, apparently. But he's done some stuff for DC and Marvel and everybody, but he's mainly did stuff in the 80s for Nexus.
Okay.
And pretty much created a lot of that line.
Was it like the solar, the...
It wasn't solar.
I thought it was...
I can't remember the picture of the... Yeah. Whatever.
He done did stuff.
But yeah, he has had some run-ins with the law, and he just like has a hard time kind of getting his foot up and getting a leg up in the business, and then he kind of shoots himself in the foot a lot. The documentary was really interesting just to see him kind of interact with people and set up his own downfall at the same time. And you're just like, oh, you're so talented. What are you doing? Don't fight with people. But so anyways, this Future Quest is basically those characters, but I think it's only like a 5 or 6 issue series. And they all have their own little stories that are all going to eventually intertwine. There's Fear, like the acronym Fear, which is the bad guy in Johnny Quest. They're collecting interdimensional bits of this creature that's like Space Ghost is battling this creature in another dimension or in another time or something. Same with like the Herculoids, they're all battling them in their own times and places.
Okay.
And then it tries to escape, or it gets exploded or something, and it gets shot through time and dimension and space, and Fear on our Earth sees it coming through and thinks it's like some sort of energy or something, and starts to try to collect it, and at the last minute kind of realizes, oh my god, it's collecting itself, and it's just going to reform, and it'll take over our universe sort of thing. So then all these superheroes and characters like Space Ghost and whatever all start to arrive and from all their times to battle this character.
So is it good?
It's really good.
Oh, good.
Awesome. Yeah.
And the art is so fun because it does have that retro feel.
Right. And yeah, like all the designs and everything just seem very, very true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that looks fun.
It's cool. Just, yeah, it's fun. Like, and it doesn't, we're not going to totally reinvent, the thing with Scooby-Doo with reinventing everything.
Yeah.
No, let's just embrace what they are.
Yeah.
But somehow make a story that works to bring them together and tell an interesting story. So that's
definitely one I want to check out at some point.
It's super fun.
I'm very behind on reading stuff. I have a comic habit mainly these days. I've just been kind of busy and I haven't really had a lot of time to just sit down and read stuff. So
you get comics, but you just don't
read
them.
So I buy them and then eventually I read them. But it sometimes will take like months at a time for me to get around to it these days, which is great when you record a comic podcast.
Killer introduction, if I do say so myself.
However, one of the ones I've been, I'm a couple issues behind. I actually brought the most recent ones, and I tried to read part of one in the car on the way here, so I'm more prepared. Wasn't driving. But that's Black Panther, the current Black Panther run, written by, hopefully, Ta-Nehisi Coates and drawn by Brian Stelfreez, and it's really good. I mean, I'm going to admit right up front here, it probably covers some ground that has been done. Like, there's been some very high-profile books in the past, even semi-modern ones like Christopher Priest's run, Reginald Hudlin had his run. They were both very highly regarded in different ways. So, I mean, like, I can't call it world building because that world's been built.
Mm.
But one of my shameful blind spots is that I haven't really read any of those. I somehow have not read The Priest Run, which I should be pretty...
How do you live with that shame?
You haven't read everything?
Come on. It is...
Shame!
What do you do on the toilet? Jesus.
I poop and pray.
At the same time.
Forgive this sin.
Isn't that an MC Hammer song?
Poop and pray?
I got to poop and pray. Oh, yeah, I poop and pray. Yeah,
no.
Sorry.
No, that's where the leg move comes from, too.
Well, all of this is staying in.
Gotta shimmy the poop down those genie pants.
Oh,
my. That is bloody disgusting.
Anyway,
so it's very... Like, I know that I'm familiar with the character, but I've never really read his stuff that intensely or anything over the years. And just sort of, this is kind of my main introduction to just sort of focusing on him in his own world. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, it's very balancing a lot of cool stuff. Like, it's a very political book. It deals with a lot of, like, fictional social issues and stuff like that. You have, like, this sort of uprising thing going on, and you have, like, him sort of struggling between, like, representing his people and his role in the monarchy, and you have, like, you know, dealing with sort of just like all sorts of really interesting stuff. We have like deals with sort of his sister and some spiritual aspects as well, technological. It's just Wakanda, right? Mm-hmm. It's Wakanda, which is just like just a crazy, very interesting setting, and it sells it so well. And again, I'm not, you know, I'm familiar but not hugely into it. And the fact that like you've had so many definitive runs on this book, and this one really kind of just stands out to me,
mm-hmm.
and kind of got me into it to the point where I'm like, I gotta go back. I gotta check out the stuff that I've missed out on. And considering how quickly I'm able to read comics these days, I will definitely do that in the year 2040.
Well, that's sort of interesting because, you know, we've talked in the past about how we've got our definitive runs on certain books. It's like, this is the one that got me into it. For me, it's always going to be this one to some degree.
Right.
And it sounds a little bit like that's what you've got there.
Well, yeah, it's building up. Again, like, I'm a bit behind. I've read, like, 3.5 issues, basically, so I can't really give you a full read. But I was sort of like, when this topic came up, I'm like, what is the one that I'm sort of reading right now that I haven't talked about before that is really kind of drawing me in? And it's definitely this. And again, like, Ta-Nehisi Coates is a writer, like, he writes, like, political stuff, like, like columns and articles and stuff like that. And I think this is his first. I could be wrong. That this is sort of his first like fictional
foray into comics.
Yeah, yeah, okay. For sure. Like it definitely was. Yeah, and he has a letters column going where he like answers stuff and just sort of talks about. Like, hey, I'm learning how to write comics, and this is what I'm doing. Because he's like, you know, he has enough stature, just sort of like in media and stuff like that. Where yeah. He's like, you know, he's able to just launch his comics career writing Black Panther and writing and that's, you know.
That's pretty cool.
That yeah. is pretty cool. And the fact that it's like, yeah, I'm learning how to write sort of, you know what I mean, sort of a learning process for me and kind of gets a little personal with it. So it's like, you know, I appreciate any feedback. And so far it's been quite strong.
I can't remember where I saw it, but I actually saw an interview with him, just a video interview, and yeah. him just talking about, yeah, getting into this, and this is totally not my field,
right.
but it's just interesting to bring this into it, and he just seemed like an interesting guy, just to be so relaxed and,
right.
like, but excited at the same time, but he's like, he seemed like, I'm having fun with this character, there's so much you can say and so much you can do that well, hasn't been done, or hasn't been done this certain way, or
right.
we're in such a time, a period of time that it's... like with the Black Lives Matter movements, things like that.
Right,
that
oh,
it's
for
like,
sure.
That's obviously going to have carry more weight.
And you have a lot of, like, that's a big part of this, too. It's just sort of, it's not, like, it's fictionalized stuff where it's, like, in that country, just sort of, like, social uprising kind of stuff like that, where, and the conflicts that he's trying to, that, you know, or don't have an easy solution, and sort of, like, that's part of what he's tackling. And again, like, Coates is, like, a really knowledgeable guy about, like, world issues and, like, social issues and political issues and stuff like that, and that's all, like, baked, so, like, that's definitely playing to his strengths.
Cool.
And I'm very interested to see where it goes from here. I mean, again, I'm not completely caught up on it, so... and, yeah, it's Brian Stelfreeze doing the art, and actually, I just realized, number 5 here, which I brought with me, as Chris Sprouse doing the art.
Cool.
And he's, like, one of my favorite artists, too. Yeah. He's really good, so it's, like, the art on it is gorgeous, and it's been quite interesting, kind of captivating so far, so... Yeah, that I can say. I will say, I'm going to do a quick second one. I've definitely talked about IDW Ninja Turtles already. I'm not going to go on about that. But very recently, they've brought in characters from Ninja Turtles Fast Forward.
Oh, really? Like who? Like
Darius Dunn, if you recall who that is. The evil uncle of, like,
oh, okay.
Cody
yeah, yeah,
Jones.
Yeah. Really?
Fast Forward was pretty dumb.
Yeah.
But, and they had, like, they're called, like, the Street Phantoms, and they're based on, I forget, some character. He had, like, a cloak that made him intangible or something. It was, like, you know, Fast Forward was, like, set 100 years in the future.
Yeah.
And all sorts of weird technological nonsense. So they've brought those, like, heavily reworked versions of those characters. They pull from everything that's kind of like IDW's
yeah.
comics. Great thing.
That's their thing.
And they're actually able to pull characters from that into, like, sort of their modern setting and sort of have, like, it's like an experimental technology, basically, that Harold, that works with Donatello,
right,
had helped develop. And it's just
Grumpy.
Like, yeah, Grumpy, the Grumpy guy.
Kirby fan.
Yeah. Oh, I love that Kirby fan. So I just found that interesting.
That's his IRC name.
Yes, he's still
basically,
IRC.
Basically.
Basically. Yeah. So yeah, I just found that worth a mention that, like, yep, they're pulling from literally everywhere and somehow making it work pretty damn well, considering. So yeah, IDW Turtles is always good.
What the f***?
This old house, it was fine 20 years ago. Look at this house now.
I like how you suddenly developed an accent.
Well, I meant to have it from the start.
It was delightful 10 minutes ago.
What? Oh, that's not the accent I was going for.
I know it.
Martha, they painted all these walls a different color.
What did you say, Martha?
This changes this whole house completely.
Martha.
That was my house's name.
So weird that both our houses are named Martha.
What was that thing...
Let's go.
The Civil War thing. The James thing?
The James thing?
It was like, what if when Cap was, like, on top of Iron Man at the end there, Iron Man was just like, save James!
James.
Because they're both named James.
Skeletor to King Randor! Come in, you royal boob!
We're talking about revisiting classics, are we?
Yes, we are. Which is a pretty broad topic.
Yes.
I don't really have a lot written down, but just little bits, of, and it kind of spreads all over.
Well, my main thought was,
let's just jazz all over it.
Like when something is kind of like when something is kind of like retouched up or re-released in some capacity and sort of redone. George Lucasing, if you will.
Yeah. I was kind of looking at...
Doing some sort of a follow-up to something that arguably shouldn't have one.
The way I kind of started looking at it was just the idea of that general collections of old stuff, like whether it's retouched, but it's repackaged and it's re-put out, and look here, it's this, and like some of them just by the nature of them being older comics, and then you redo them, the printing process is completely different from then to now.
Right.
The paper itself makes it look completely different. It has like it used to be just newsprint, shitty newsprint that you would read it on, and it's that
cheapest possible.
Those it was Ben-Day that way dot. Until, 20 years ago in some cases.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, definitely.
I actually, when I was looking through my old collections and stuff when I was thinking about this, there's the Jack Kirby Fourth World Omnibus collection, and I popped that one out. What they originally were the old newsprint Ben-Day dot sort of printing, and I opened it, and obviously they don't have the Ben-Day dot sort of thing, but it actually has the old style paper. It's not quite newsprint, but it's like they purposefully did it on that slightly older style paper. Like, it's not as shitty as the old newsprint, but
it's somewhere in the middle. It's like
It makes it feel like, I don't know, a little more authentic to me rather than that super high gloss shine. There was a period towards the end of the 90s that the paper was getting super shiny and just like really thick and everything had this high gloss sheen to it.
Yeah.
Yum.
Okay.
Some of the just like the...
Take that out.
You pick a comic and it just slips out of your hands.
Yeah. Was it like sort of like the earlier digital coloring where everything was just like, like you're saying, everything was just shining. Like every surface.
Glinting. Every character is covered in gradients.
Yeah.
It looked like Newgrounds.
Oh.
So that's
I remember Newgrounds.
That's
probably still there. I don't know.
It is. Maybe it's better. I don't know.
Probably not.
Flash is on its way out. I don't know how they animate these things. There's this YouTube thing. You can put your dumb video about Mario fighting Sonic on there. I'll watch it.
I can be a partner.
Anyway,
you were saying.
No, just the idea that like the old collections are a big thing now. That is.
Yeah.
You look at like Dark Horse and IDW. Some of them print like the old Marvel and DC stuff. They have the rights to reprint
like the oversized things.
Yeah, the oversized things, and some of the other collections, and then some of the was it Dark Horse has like the old Gold Key stuff. Like I have the Doctor Spectre and Solar Man of the Atom, sort of those collections from the 50s and 60s that they're put through by Dark Horse, but they're like big hard. Cover collections.
You could kill a man with it.
Totally. And then the omnibus collections that Marvel puts out and DC's been putting out. And like, that's big business. Like, that's not, it's not a matter of just like, oh, and we get the odd trade now and again sort of thing. And the new stuff that comes out, those get put into trade when they're done. But it's, there's a whole business of taking old classics and presenting them, repackaging them 800 times.
How do you feel about changing them? Like, the thing I'm referencing specifically is that new version of The Killing Joke that came out about 5 years ago.
Right.
Where it was completely recolored in a more modern style.
Yeah.
I don't hold The Killing Joke up as some sacred text. No. But, like, would you go over Kirby stuff and recolor it? Because, like, his solid colors because that's what it was at the time.
Yeah.
But very vibrant. And like doing that and coloring it in a modern style, it just seems like it was such a product of its time.
Yeah.
Why would you go and change that? And Killing Joke very much like that. Like the coloring in it is great.
Yeah.
But it was very much a product of its time.
I think when we were, like, initially doing the Killing Joke stuff that come up, but we were just talking about it.
Yeah.
Not in the episode, but I had it brought over, like, because I...
Yeah, you
I found it. I had the original trade paperback with the original coloring, which I had lost, and then I bought the newer one when it came out, and then I found the other one. It turns out I didn't lose it after all. I had them both. So it's kind of cool to have both and compare, but I mean, you definitely, like, while, like, the modern coloring, I mean, like, it's like, you know, Brian Bolland did it himself this time, and he says, like, this is what I wanted. The original was John Higgins, I think his name was. I could be wrong. I think that was the name. But, I compare the two, and it's like, well, yeah, like, the bright, garish, just, like, unnatural colors. I mean, it's a whole about trying, like, the descent
into madness. Like, the yellow into purple sort of.
Yeah. Like, it's, like, the story about, like, descent into madness. And it's like, well, that sells it right there. Like, the choice of colors, like, exactly how, like, crazy and garish and unnatural they are in a lot of ways, I think sort of highlights something in the story where, like, the newer one does not. So,
but then it's that weird thing. To me, I'm like, once you've done something and it's out, not that it's a, like, yeah, like you're saying, like a religious thing, religious text, don't touch
it's
it.
It's not sacred.
It's not sacred. But at the same time, unless there's something wrong with it, that like, there was a printing problem or something was horrendously wrong.
It's like going back to me, changing, you know, old Hulk comics to gray.
Yeah.
Just because, well, we wanted him to be gray. Like, yeah. Well, you couldn't get him to be gray, so suck it up.
Yeah. But then, that's what you said is an interesting thing of just... Well, Brian Bolland, who was the artist,
right,
and he wants to go back and redo it himself because this is what he had in his head. That's a different thing, but is that good? It's almost like a director's cut.
Yeah.
And then when you get the director's cut, you completely Lucas it, and you completely fuck it up.
And that's you know what I mean. And again, like that.
I always wanted there to be Gungans in the Killing Joke. I don't know why I went for like a Grover sort of voice.
Yeah.
That was like Patton Oswalt's version of George Lucas. That's what he does. That
want to be a little
kid. He's very sad.
Well, do you like Boba Fett? Oh, he's so good.
He's so good.
Would you like some ice cream?
I'm going to ruin that too.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is like with art and the creative stuff, like George Lucas, I mean, it's been this argument's been made a thousand times on the internet, but it's true that, like, some of the limitations, maybe, like, you couldn't do everything he wanted to do necessarily, maybe when the first Star Wars was made. Maybe that's why it turned out as well as it did sometimes. Like, if you work within limitations, sometimes that's actually better. And it might,
that's what comics are. They're really limited field of artistic expression.
And the thing is, you could argue that with, you could continue to improve it for the rest of existence. Like, you're going to get this next piece of technology and you can do this again.
Now, what if this was printed on an oval with infinite sides?
Yeah.
What if this was a concept that I could just beam into your dreams?
Yeah.
Don't change the colors.
That's DC's next project after they finish with the animated stuff.
Oh, boy. On that note, that you're on there, have you ever been tempted to, like, anything that you've done to, like, redo it?
Yes and no. Like, it's... I've looked at some of my stuff, like previous books and things, and gone, ugh, I hate that.
Yeah.
I'd love to fix that, but I would never go back and fix it. I had an epiphany years ago of just not holding everything, not keeping everything I do is so special, and just, it's like, and holding it up on a pedestal. It's like, okay, I'm done it. It's out in the world. Like, whether it's a painting or a book or whatever. And okay, it's done. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to go back and redo everything and try to make it like some epitome of a thing that I think of now. What I did at that point, that's what I could do. Let it go, move on to the next thing. Take those lessons you learned in that thing and move on. Rather than go back and revisit, you can do that. It's a cycle that you'll just get caught in.
Yeah.
And I don't think it benefits anybody.
Ultimately, like, again, if you're creating something, I mean, yeah, you should be not just stuck in one thing for the rest of your life necessarily.
I actually have gone back and redone stuff, but it was mainly just for editing. Like, the first 100 or so Ski Ninjas comics, the formatting was all over the place.
Yeah.
And for putting together in a book, I actually had to, like, go and, like, squish it into these dimensions, these panels, and so... And some of the, like, really, really old ones were literally stick figures. And I just, stylistically, it didn't make sense with the rest of it.
Right.
So just from, like, a continuity perspective.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
And I can see the same
thing. It's different when you're taking something and you're doing a printing, because you have to play around with it, but...
Other than that, no.
The formatting thing is, I've had that. Because, again, I had some of my earlier comics where, like... You know, it's like, it's on the internet, I can do whatever I want.
Infinite like, canvas!
Yeah, exactly, yeah, exactly.
It's this like, this one's as horizontal as hell.
And then, yeah, when it comes to actually being like, oh, well, I gotta format this for, like, a regular book, it's like, oh, shit, that's stupid. Which, thankfully, like, it's only the first dozen or so, and, and, like, I was putting that together and just sort of looking at, like, the drawing and, like, the first, you know, especially the first dozen or so, but, you know, let's be real, the first a lot. I'm just like, not very good. And I'm like, you know, I'm still, you know, evolving and getting better over time, but it's just like, you know, it's like, ah, a little embarrassed to show these, but at the same time, if you have something
more I noticed running, that when you sell the book, too. You're like, it gets better as it goes along. It's okay, man.
Yeah.
It's okay.
You don't need to apologize.
Yeah, don't apologize.
It is a process, and that's the whole point, right? Yeah. I mean, like, things... You're going to evolve as you go, and I still kind of would like to even just redraw some of the earlier ones at some point just for fun kind of a thing.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I can see doing that for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, put them up there, whatever. Just do it for fun, but
Maybe sell them.
Yeah, but ultimately... Yeah.
Maybe they just destroy the originals. Yeah. But, you know, that just for fun.
Maybe make sure nobody can see the originals ever again. Go crazy on my ranch.
I got you.
But ultimately, like, what is your... Yeah. Ultimately, what is your time if you're, like, creating stuff? What is it better... Is it better to, like, spend your time redrawing stuff you've already done or to do the next thing? And I'm like, yeah, probably the next thing, right? Yeah. Like, ultimately, your time's at a premium. I mean, that sometimes there's a very good reason where you have to, but... Yeah, I think we're relatively on the same page.
I think there's a lesson to be learned for going back to looking at it.
Yes.
And saying, okay, what did I do wrong? What do I like? And then taking those lessons and moving
right, like what would
move,
I
move right, go from the back to the front of the line again, and go, oh, okay, what's next? And yeah, I can use those lessons that I had then. And
what
and
would I do differently doesn't necessarily have to mean you do it.
Yeah,
it is fun to go back and look at your old stuff too. And be
yeah,
like,
totally.
Man, I'm a lot better at this thing now. Yeah.
Man,
my diamond feet look so much better.
Yeah, they're shimmering diamonds now.
Well, it's mostly because of the paper.
High grade.
So many gradients. I'm borderline adequate now. Borderline.
Cool.
Borderline. Yeah. An example I have for just a different thing where censorship sort of might come into play a little bit when you like the some things being republished. I'm thinking specifically like the Marvel reprints of Miracle Man.
Okay.
That they've put out. They've recolored it, like, so it's, like, you know, more modern coloring, too. Which, you know, whatever. That's just going to happen. They're doing, like, a modernized re-release of it. But they've done stuff, too. Like, there was some panels, I think, where there was, like, some language, like, offensive language that they censored.
That was a book that didn't pull a lot of punches.
No.
Especially for, like, the early 80s when it came out.
Right. And again, there's, like, you know, offensive language and stuff like that. But there's, you know, maybe the argument that there's an artistic reason for using it. Like, there's a story reason for using it. There was, like, a panel I know that was...
Alan Moore's a crank.
Yours wouldn't really work.
That's the most artistic reason.
Well, you know, superheroes are just... The thing that Alan Moore said they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stupid garbage. Do some magic.
Bloody garbage.
Yeah.
Yours wouldn't really work.
Two Alan Moores. There's Alan Moore. Okay.
There was
more than Alan Moore.
There was another one. There's like another couple of issues too. I think where they like at like they censored like nudity. Like there was like somebody naked from behind and they put underwear on them and stuff like that. But like there's a point in Miracle Man where there's just like a graphic birth scene. And my point is like if they're doing this because they have to censor this stuff for some sort of like I don't know, like, ratings is sort of self-imposing.
It's a mature book, though.
It is a mature book. That's the thing. And if they're doing it for that kind of a reason, to the point where they're, like, putting underwear on somebody who wasn't wearing underwear.
Yeah.
What are you going to do when that happens? Because you're going to get to that point where you're reprinting it. You can't... Are you just going to cut that out?
It's just a scene of a stork.
Yeah. Coming through the window. Hey! Yeah, I don't know. Like, when that kind of a thing happens, especially considering, like, Marvel's reprinting this, and to my knowledge, there's no input from creators or anything like that.
Well, probably not.
Probably not. So that right there kind of is, I would argue, don't.
Well, I wonder, like, when they get to the game and stuff,
yeah,
what do they do? Because he's on board to finish it, right?
Supposedly, but you know.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't come back to Sandman. Who knows?
Anything could happen.
Yeah.
So what did we learn?
No one likes Lucas.
No, nobody at all.
Everybody likes Ness. That was an Earthbound thing.
It sure was.
Specifically for Bri.
I appreciate it.
Anyone else that likes Earthbound? I don't know, like for the... Oh, right. We're also entertaining people right now.
Oh, okay.
Forgot.
If anyone liked that joke,
I'd... Sure doesn't seem like it.
Oh. If anyone liked that joke, I might have an Earthbound for sale.
It's the realest thing I ever done. I mean that.
Any other thoughts on the general topic?
Okay. Do you think it helps or hurts the industry to re-release classics?
Oh, it helps. Absolutely.
And let me qualify that with... Here's that, like Sandman, here's the collections, then there's the new editions, then there's the Absolute Edition, and then there's another edition.
And then there's the Absolute Vodka Edition.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Drink this, then read.
I'm in dreamland.
I crashed my car. Don't read comics and drive if you're drunk. That's obvious.
Really shouldn't.
You'd think.
You'd think it was obvious.
It's that commercial, they're driving and one comic goes in front and then another comic goes in front. Yeah.
Let's make it. I don't know. I think there can be an over-reliance on it. Like, there's some things where it's just like, you know, that, like, how many times can you re-release Watchmen?
Yeah.
It's one of those
things. At least once more.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's not like there's any sort
they
of a reason.
They made a goddamn video game.
Ah, that's true. Goddamn. It's not like there's any sort of a reason they got to keep that in print indefinitely or anything.
Oh, they made that. I want to play
well,
that.
Well, it's a beat-em-up.
Is it?
You're Night Owl and Rorschach, and you just go.
I would totally play that.
Yeah. I'm sure
what are we
it's
doing?
Terrible.
I should play that instead.
Yeah.
All right. That's an episode. I don't know.
Play your game. One of us just watches
and masturbates.
I'm Alan Moore, and it's just like over in the corner. Like I don't like.
It's an unhealthy thing to play that.
I don't acknowledge.
Don't play those characters.
Yours wouldn't really work.
What were we talking about?
I don't know.
Re-releasing, right.
Yeah, I think the point, well, like something like Watchmen, for example, well, you know, if you go to like a bookstore or a comic store or whatever, like there could be like how many different versions of it?
Mm-hmm.
Like the same story. Like different versions, like, yeah, like it. That's a little silly.
Well, there's only the one copy of Catcher in the Rye, right? They only put that out the one time.
Well, sure, but do they have, like, multiple different versions of it out at the same time and, like, different, like, crazy collector's
box
set?
Yeah, you never got the Steelbook version of Catcher in the Rye?
But yeah, like, you had regular dress, you know
what
I mean?
That was a test, you phonies.
This is the author's cut. It's got 30 extra words.
What are those words?
Why are you fucking reading this, you stupid prick?
Oh, is that Alan Moore one? Did they not? I thought they did like a big fancy box set of Watchmen, like they were with all of before Watchmen, also like a complete thing.
Oh, gross!
Which is just like the fuck Alan Moore edition, I think.
Yours wouldn't really work.
The movie's in there too.
They also threw the first issue of Rebirth.
And then what they did for like a final thing is they sent it to him, and they sent somebody to take pictures of him as he opened the box from the bushes outside of his house to get his horrified reaction.
His face
reaction.
Just drops.
And there's like a fancy photo book of all of that.
A fancy photo book.
Yeah, it's in the box set.
It's a flip book.
Yeah. You could just watch him somehow getting even more miserable. It's possible. Apparently it's
more
possible.
More miserable. M-O-R-E. Oh! More miserable.
Oh my god.
There you go.
DC might hear this and then actually do it.
Yeah.
This has just been the fuck Alan Moore episode, hasn't
apparently,
it?
Yeah. We have it's a whole theme. Is there anything else to add to this?
I don't think so. No.
Once you've gotten to Moore Miserable, I think you're done.
Yeah, that's as far as we need to go.
Moment of zero.
Yeah, so this week for the Moment of Zero, normally when we do this, we'll say like, oh, I've got an idea for a warm-up, I've got an idea for a Moment of Zero, and we'll pitch ideas and we'll go with what we want to do, basically. There's no one to tell us no, which is a blessing than a curse.
It's a cursing.
Yeah. But what I pitched was I would like to, you know, show some of Reed Richards' worst inventions. Here's some of the stupid crap he made. He made a spork. But
Herbie.
Yeah.
Poor Herbie.
I like Herbie.
He's a totally viable replacement for the Human Torch.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I pitched this, I sort of expected that I would be able to find a list of Reed Richards' inventions very easily on the internet.
Not so
and
easy.
I was wrong.
What the hell you doing, internet?
Yeah, like,
get on it.
There's so many things.
How come somebody hasn't done this for our convenience?
Yeah, specifically for me. But I did find a lot of articles about how Reed Richards is a terrible person, a bad husband, a bad father, a bad friend.
Yep.
How Dr. Doom, who, you know, his parents died, he survived living on the side of a mountain and, like, basically, like, his dad...
Just stretching.
His dad gave him his coat and, like, died to keep Victor alive. And one semester living with Reed Richards drove him insane.
I've never thought about that. That's pretty good.
That's a very good point.
So I have a very low opinion of Reed Richards at this point.
That's pretty funny, actually. I've gone to hell and back to get my mother, but you, Richards,
you're a dick. Is it any wonder that, you know, he spent the rest of his life just hating him and cursing his name? But one very, very long, because this is the internet. One very long article I read or skimmed.
Yeah.
Because my God, so long, so very long. Was basically putting forth the idea that Reed Richards has stolen most of his ideas from aliens, you know, like stealing unstable molecule ideas from Skrulls or from the future because they've been there a couple times, or just like adapting technology. So saying like he doesn't so much invent stuff as reverse engineer stuff.
Okay.
And he's very smart, but he's not a great inventor.
Yours wouldn't really work.
But, like, Reed does not understand all of his stuff. This is one of the things. He's leaning in front of this weird Kirby contraption, and it says, like, just between us, I don't know what this silly contraption is either. Keep smiling, Reed. But it's like,
I'm starting to understand how they got exposed to comic radiation. He didn't plan for that.
I
don't think he understands space travel or anything.
That would be great to like redo one of the movies, but just like him driving Victor insane. But why did he? Just because maybe he's like just a bumbling, hey guys. He's just one of those guys that's so annoying. They just won't shut up talking.
Can't take social cues.
I don't understand anything. I'm on a date. Hey guys, you want to? I'll go to the movies with you. Like.
He's just a complete failure, but very lucky inventor. He's basically like Dr. Venture.
He just keeps picking stuff up and, this is how it works? Okay.
Wait, so there's the neat theory that I found that I wanted to share with everybody. I like that. I couldn't find a list of stuff.
Yeah.
And if it ever happens, I'd love to come back to this.
fuck Reed Richards. Like him. Nope, I like it.
Well, I think we just recorded an episode, dear
gents.
Yes,
we did.
And I think it's time that we tell them who we are. I'm Bri. Oh, dear Lord.
Well, that was wonderful.
All right. And on that note, I will leave.
My name is Tony Stark, and I'm not afraid of you.
Yeah, I'm Bri Kotick. You can find my comic, it's Welcome to Hereafter at WelcomeToHereafter.com. The day we're recording this, actually, I posted the 400th page. So I've done 400 pages. Woo! Very exciting. Hopefully I'll have time to do more in the future. And that'll be good. Yeah, not much else to say. You can type in my name if you can figure out how to spell it and find me on the internet.
I am Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM. Merc on Facebook, on my website. There's t-shirts, and there's books, and there's things, and there's whatever. Lots
stuff,
of stuff
and things.
Yep.
And I'm Kyle Lees. Best place to find me is on Facebook at The Kyle Lees, or Twitter at The Kyle Lees, which posts all of the stuff from Facebook.
What? Follow both.
Sometimes I do comics.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, not so much, because I'm starting to pick up more and more commissions, so it's like, oh, well, I don't have time to make comics. I don't have time to do things that bring me joy. Drawing brings me joy, and other stuff brings me joy, so I'm just kidding about that. My life is full of joy. How are you?
Oh, not that good.
That seemed like a cry for help.
Yeah.
No, I'm...
I'm okay.
No, I realized that I was like, oh, you're humble bragging. Better take yourself down a peg before anyone else does. Are you not familiar with my motif?
Yeah. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, we're on Twitter and Facebook. If you want to give us a good rating, tell your friends about us, what have you. Like on iTunes and Stitcher in particular, that would be really great. It would help people find the show. We wanted to thank Ocean City Defender for helping us out with the music. He and Merc got together and did all these interstitial and theme songs, stuff like that. And I'm still just captivated by them.
Captivated.
Every time.
Check it and see.
Actually got a compliment from a listener, Richard, if you're listening. I actually bought Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 off of him from like one of those video game buy and sell things.
Can we hang out?
Yeah, we can. Okay. And we will. But we should, that's a thing we should do.
Yeah, I've never played
that. You
can
play as Doctor Strange.
What?
In a fighting game.
What?
Pretty fun, right? So I bought that off him. Like, he's like, oh, where are you? And I think I probably met him in person before and I maybe didn't realize at the time. He was, he said, yeah, it's like, oh, I really love the new format and like the new music and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, thank you.
Cool.
So that's cool. So thank you for that. It really brightened my day. And also, I got a cool game off of you.
Nice.
Thank you. And that's might be it. Is there anything else to throw out there, you guys?
Richards!
Always
more! Lucas!
The three of them battling it out.
Yeah.
Oh, match. What if they went to war?
Well, good night, everybody.
It might entertain people for a few minutes, but I'm not interested in it.